Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. As you grab your Bibles, we're going to turn to 2 Chronicles. And while you're doing that, I do want to give honor unto your pastor and his family. They have been just so hospitable to us and just been a wonderful time in fellowship last night. And I believe that it's going to continue in Jesus' name here as well. Hallelujah. How many have come to have church today?
Yes, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I also want to honor my wife as well, who is here with me. Everywhere I go, I say this as an anthem, so to speak. But when God has called us to the ministry, especially in evangelism, I told my family as I sat them down, I said, look, this is not a spotlight on me. This is not about me. This is about God. But however, I need you to understand that you are not to walk behind me. You are to walk beside me. We're doing this together as a family because I believe that's how God appointed it to be. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you believe that today?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. God has been doing great things. We are just glad of how he's been able to use us. Our sons did want to be here. They had some obligations at church, at home. I give honor to my pastor as well in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. But hallelujah. Do you have the word of the Lord today?
Yes.
Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and we're going to start in verse 20. It's a familiar story. If you've got that, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And it says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted the people, he appointed singers. Say, he appointed singers.
He appointed singers.
And unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever.
Yes.
And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and there, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. I'm almost finished. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baraka unto this day, which Baraka is blessings. Amen.
Amen.
I just want to take a few moments today to talk about this is how we fight our battles.
All right.
Amen. Is that okay? Yes. Hallelujah. Let's put the word of the Lord down. Let's raise our hands toward heavens
Jesus,
one more time.
Jesus.
Let's ask God to have his way in this place. We love you today,
God.
We're grateful, Lord, for the presence that we've already felt. We know that you are in this place, God. We welcome you to linger on. We ask that your anointing flow, God. Use, Lord, these lips, God. Speak through me, Lord, what you put in my heart, God. Lord, let me be able to put out, God, what you have put in my heart. God, touch every heart in this place. Touch every soul, God. Let us hear with an ear, Lord, what you have to say today. God, we know that there are still more blessings yet that you have yet to pour out upon us. God, we're asking for revelation and to leave this place forever changed, God. And we won't fail to praise you for it. Can we clap unto heaven today? Hallelujah. Come on, the Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people, and to shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Come on, a clap doesn't mean nothing without the voice behind it when it comes to our God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We bless your holy name, Jesus. We give you glory today. Hallelujah. Come on, I refuse to let the most inadequate object to take our place today in worship and praise. We have a choice to be a part of something great, of God today or allow it to be another service. But I choose today, God, for you to do something extraordinary. I choose today, God, Lord, for the supernatural. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. And if you're going to help me preach, you may be seated. Hallelujah. We live in a world today to where it seems to get darker and darker. I remember as a child hearing elders before me talk about how the world, how it used to be, and how they remember how things were when they grew up. But today, I guess I'm getting a little older myself because I can say the same things. But through a world that is getting darker, it just means our light can shine brighter. Amen. That today the church must convey the statement spiritually that God has not called us to be a weak people and to be shy and cowardly, but strong in faith. We have to be bold in the Holy Ghost and to know without certainty that God prevails and is victorious. Amen. God does not intend for his people to be weak and feeble today. Hallelujah. Forgive me if I don't have a runway. I'm just excited for what God is and what he's doing in my life. Hallelujah. Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth, it shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loosen on earth shall be loosened in heaven. I'm here to tell the hell notice today that the church will not be silent. I'm not here to look nice and sophisticated. I don't care if my tie is not exactly perfect and straight the way it should be. I'm not here to play games with hell today, but I'm here to go on God's authority to say what's coming against my home, what's coming against our families, what's coming against our churches, what's coming against our city. We are rebuking and binding in Jesus' name, and through God we will be victorious. Amen. Yes, 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 yes. Come on, it's time to claim healings. It's time to claim miracles. It's time to claim breakthroughs. It's time to claim miracles. Come on, somebody. It's time to claim and to take back what the enemy has taken from us. Come on, I will not let the enemy intimidate me today. Come on, if you believe that, clap your hands and shout unto the Lord today. Come on, look at a neighbor and tell them with a made up mind, I've come to church today expecting. Hallelujah. Come on, it's time for families to come out. It's time for lost loved ones to come back and be delivered. It's time for backsliders to come back to a welcome church of God. Come on, how many souls would we be able to fit in this church today if every backslider in this city came back to God? Come on, we wouldn't be able to contain them in this church. I believe that in the Holy Ghost today. Come on, the devil, like I said, is not going to intimidate us any longer from praising God. We cannot stay silent. He's got the wrong one for that today. I said he's got the wrong one to stay silent today. Hallelujah. I won't forget where God has brought me from. Come on, I remember when I was broke and busted. I remember whenever I was nothing but a terrible sinner on my way to hell, but God. Come on, I know that God has brought you through some situations today. You may have not have gone and lived in the world. Come on, but we all have fallen short of God's glory. And I believe because of that, because of his grace, because of his mercy, it's why we're able to stand here today and give God glory. Come on, we have a testimony today. It's how we overcome. It's through our testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. It's through our response that we let hell know he cannot come across the enemy line. And we will not let him come across to where we are. Come on. He has intimidated some of us for too long to where we stay complacent. He has stolen our joy. He has kept us in a corner. Get out of the corner today. Come on. Your back is against the wall. It's time to just take a few steps forward today in faith. It's time to believe today. I'm not a performer. That's not what I am. I'm not here to perform for you. I'm not here to give you a little bit of goosebumps and try to get your adrenaline moving. But I want to tell you in the Holy Ghost, I'm fired up, Pastor. I'm fired up because I am tired of hell trying to keep me down. I am tired of hell saying that what belongs to us no longer does, that it belongs to him, that the ones that I've been praying for so long are not coming back. I'm here to tell him he is a liar. Come on, that's where our God works, is in the impossible. Come on, that's when he steps in, is whenever it can no longer look like we're able to do, and he comes in and does it for us. Amen? Come on, we have testimonies. Hallelujah. My worst day living for God is better than my best day living in the world. Come on, I celebrate. Come on, I love dancing on the grave that I once lived in. I celebrate the death of the man I used to be today. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So King Jehoshaphat, one of the few good kings after the kingdoms were split from the northern and the southern, we know that he ruled in the southern kingdoms from the house of David. That King Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, meaning what? Praise. Say it again.
Praise.
The Judah, yes, king of praise. He gets a message across the way that some enemies are coming, that the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir, and if you study the word, you'll see it's the Edomites are coming against the people of God. The Moabites, Ammonites, and Edomites. That's a lot of ites. Is that all right? Can we have a good time in church today? That's a lot of ites. And I started saying, okay, God, why am I staring at this word, keeping just seeing the ites, these ites, all these ites that are coming against your people? And then God started speaking to me through prayer. And the first ites that I thought about was mites, the microscopic things that can get on you and cause you to irritate your skin and cause you to cause injury to yourself. Can I tell you and be bold in the Holy Ghost to tell you that spiritually we're dealing with some mites today in the church. We're dealing with some mites outside of the church. We're dealing with those things that want to irritate our mind and our spirits to say, hey, it doesn't take all that to praise God. That whenever, hey, a little patty cake is okay to give to God. It's okay if you come into the house, but don't give everything you have unto the Lord today. Hey, all that shouting, why are you doing that for? Why are you playing and singing as good as you do? I thought it was supposed to be about God. He wants you to think that. The mites are just telling you, hey, sit back a little bit. It's okay. Come on, this isn't about you. It's about God's glory. When in all reality, everything we're giving is for God, that we come to give him our best when we walk in. Amen?
Amen.
The next thing that comes to my mind when I think of ites is the termites. What are termites good for? Destroying the wood. Destroying what has been built. The enemy wants to destroy what God is building in your life. He wants to destroy the altars that you come to, the altars where you sacrifice unto God. That's what he's trying to do today, to say that everything that you've sacrificed is meaningless. Everything that you've laid down for God is questionable. The standards that you hold are questionable. I'm here to tell you today, it's not questionable. It's not questionable whenever you have a leader, a man of God, stand behind a pulpit and say, we don't live the way the world does. We don't dress the way the world does. We don't go to places that the world goes to. I don't care if the churches down the road do that. We are not going to do that. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord and serve him with all our heart, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Hallelujah. Do you believe that today?
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the last height that I think about is parasite. The parasite that wants to suck the very life out of its host. Spiritually, it is no different. It wants to take and remind you of your past failures. It wants to remind you of the times you were alone and things you may have thought about and choices you have made and said you are not worthy of God's grace. It wants you to believe that your praise means nothing because of who you once were. I'm here to tell you it's a lie from hell today. Because again, that is the billboard of the blood that washes and covers the sin today. And that is the testimony of your response, that when you can give God your highest praise, come on, not just when you're in a conference, not just whenever an evangelist shows up at a church, not whenever you just have certain guests walk in, but when you come with a purpose. Come on, I said when you come with a purpose to the house of God that says, God, I may not feel it today, but I'm still going to give it today. Made up mind. It's what we need. Thank you, Pastor. You may be seated. It reminds me of those that come in. Is there enough if I borrow this chair? Hallelujah. I call them the spirit of Eileen's. They'll come in, sit in the back, not here. They'll sit in the back of a church, and they'll lean back. Well, bless God. Look at that. You see him shouting around his church. I know what he did last week. What is he doing? He thinks he's delivered. Okay, you know he's going to fail again. And look at them. Wow. Look how they're dressed, and they're trying to get up front to give God glory. They can get glory from their seat. Why are they coming up front for? That is ridiculous. Can you believe that? And listen to brother or sister so-and-so sing. They can't even carry a tune in a bucket. But Lord have mercy. I guess they're trying. And then that saying, bless their heart. Oh, bless their heart. Come on. Bless their heart. Passive aggressiveness, but I'm here to tell you in the Holy Ghost, the key word's aggressive. When you talk like that, it's aggressive. You're talking against God's people. You better be careful. Amen. Then you have those Eileen's pastor that says, well, bless God. He ain't done nothing for me lately, so I'm going to sit right here. Those mites are right. They're not irritating me. They're telling me the truth. He blessed brother and sister so-and-so with a new vehicle or a new job, but he hasn't done that for me. So I'm going to sit right here until he moves. Bless God. Well, guess what? He moved over 2,000 years ago whenever he came down, robed himself in flesh, and died on a cross for each and every one of us. I'm here to tell you God's already moved. It's time for the Eileens to start becoming, I am going to praise. I am going to worship. Come on. Come on. We don't have time for cute praise and patty cake when it comes to God's house. Come on, but every time we walk in, we give the Lord our best. Come on, we don't need fancy ties. You don't need fancy shoes to give the Lord what he deserves today. Come on, they tell you shout too much. Come on, you dance too much. It don't take all that. You know what? But I want to give all that. Because everything he's given me, I've got to give him a little bit more today. I said, I got to give him more today. Now you may be seated. You got those ites now talking too. Here's the new fad going on. I watched a message of Brother Cody Marks, and I seen on social media, someone's making comment now, continuously. Why is he yelling for? They can hear him. Why do they got to yell so much for? Why? Come on, the enemy will do everything it can to dismember the church body. It will do everything it can to cause havoc and discord in a house of God. It will do it. And now it's beginning. It's not beginning. It's been there for a little bit. But it's those keyboard warriors where the only thing they can say something is whenever it's hiding behind a little screen on a phone or at home on a laptop or an iPad. Come on, you want to know why I scream too much? Because I get excited about the Word of God. I get excited whenever I know that anywhere he could be and he's right here with us today. That in this place today, God can do the impossible. He can heal somebody today. He can give somebody a breakthrough today. He can give salvation today. That's why I yell at a microphone. Y'all got to forgive me. I get crazy. I do. I love giving God radical praise. I tell me and my sons, we kind of have a little ongoing joke, and a response is when someone says thank you or we describe ourselves, we say, hey, it's who I am. It's what I do. Hey, I live for God. It's who I am. It's what I do. I don't come and get down here in a moment and start worshiping. Come on, I'm not an ING. I don't come down here just to live in a moment and feed off a certain song or a certain beat. I don't do it whenever I'm up on the mountaintop. I'm a worshiper. It's who I am. It's what I do, brother. It's what I love to do. I love to act crazy for God. I love to dance before the Lord. I love to make a fool of myself for God because He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it today. Come on, do I have worshipers in the house? Do I have praisers in the house? Is it what you are and what you do for the Lord? My wife and I was telling your pastor and first lady this. Been to churches where I've wanted to walk out during a worship service or even during the Word of God. And go look at the outside of the church sign to make sure I was in the right place. Because I've been in places where we're sitting there and we're giving God praise, giving Him glory. And all of a sudden, I just sense eyes all on me. And I look around, Pastor, and everyone else is sitting down looking at us like we're crazy. They converted from apostolic to Baptist. I'm just being honest with you. But it did not hinder me from still doing what, come on, God has brought me out of too many things. You don't know like I know what He's done for me. Come on, He's brought me out of the miry clay. He put my feet on a rock to stay. I was the chief of sinners, but still yet God gave grace and gave salvation to me. That's why I act the way I do and act crazy. Well, Brother Ward, you better be careful. They may not have you, but I don't care. I really, truly don't care. I don't. You want to know why? It's because things that don't have life in them, they start dying. Then death occurs. And then that death causes plagues and it spreads. And then in that moment, it decays. And when it starts to decay, it starts to smell. And I don't want to be around the death smell, but I want to be around a smell that is a sweet savor unto our God. An incense that reaches the throne room of heaven that says, God, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Is that how you feel today? Do you want to be in a live church? Do you want to be in a place where resurrection is abundant? Come on, that's all right. Let's take some time out to give Him praise. Glory! Being a music director for many years, singing at conferences and allowing God to use me and show my testimony in places. It reminds me of a father, being a father. I remember whenever my children were younger and we would be at a park and I'd be talking to someone. Daddy, Daddy, hold on, son, I'm talking. I've taught you better than this. You don't interrupt when I don't. But Daddy, hold on just a minute. Couple minutes, maybe not even minutes, couple seconds go by. They're right back at Daddy, 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 Daddy. Son, is anyone dying? No. Are you bleeding? No. Then just hold on. I get done. Okay. What is it, son? What is it? And in that moment, he's got my attention and he's like, watch this, Dad. And to us, we're like, are you crazy? I thought you just solved one of the hardest math equations in the world, but you're jumping. Now you're, what you think and what you say is two different things. Because as a father, your response should be, good job, son. Well done. Great job. To them, they just did like a triple somersault into a back, whatever you call it. But to us, it was just. But when I get into the house of God, I want to say, hey, Daddy. Right here, look. Look, Daddy, look what I'm doing for you. Look how I can shout for you. Come on, Daddy, I need your attention today. Come on, I need you here in Augusta to pay attention where I'm at right now, because there's a need I need you to see. And though I may be in the valley, though I may be down, I need you to know that I still want to get your attention, that I'm still going to shout through the circumstance. I'm still going to praise through the problem. I'm still going to worship through the issue, Lord. Come on, that's why we live the way we do in the house of God. It's how we respond. Come on, it's not because he's been good. He's always good. Come on, it's not because there's always sunshine and rainbows, but we know who our God is and what he can bring us out of. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Come on, why would you not want to give unadulterated praise today, unfiltered in its purest form? Why would you not want to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, and serve the Lord with gladness? Come on, it's not time for mad looks in quiet cemeteries. Come on, we can't be that church. We cannot revert into a cemetery today. Come on, we don't need, can I just be honest? We don't need blacked out ceilings and blacked out behind us to live for God. We don't need a bunch of colored lights and fog machines to get God's attention. We don't need a laser show. We don't need music of the world trying to convert into certain lyrics to make sure that we look good and we sound good. Come on, we don't even need to drive certain vehicles to get God's attention. Come on, my God has not changed. This word has not changed. Come on, what we're doing today, that's what God honors. That's what he desires today. He desires to inhabit the praise of his people in the purest form. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. So the ites, they're coming down. They're coming down with a force of invasion, bigger than they could handle. So good old Jehoshaphat did what any good king would do when the enemy started closing in. What did he do? He called a prayer meeting. He called a prayer meeting. You know why some of us feel so defeated all the time? That we can come into a house of God and give God praise and give God glory and just feel like we can just take on hell. Amen. And as soon as we get home the very next day, you know, our praise balloon deflates. You want to know why? Our prayer life isn't the way it should be. Because if our prayer life was the way it should be and the power of our worship and praise, our faith would be where it needed to be. Amen. Come on. We are diminishing in prayer warriors today. Come on. I remember back in the day when saints of God would tap into the throne room through a prayer room. And the next thing you know, some people are coming out. Some have their own prayer rooms, but some use a sanctuary. But I know there's places where you can get into a prayer and pre-service prayer and touch the throne of heaven. And the next thing you know, the Holy Ghost is flowing so strong, you didn't need the first chord to be struck. You didn't need the first lyric to be sung, because God was already showed up in the place. And the Holy Ghost moves so strong. I've seen it to where people outside of the doors felt God moving so strongly. Come on, what happened to the prayer life? I remember a grandmother who would pray over a meal when it was Mother's Day or certain family just situations and celebrations. And the next thing you know, just praying over the food, she starts speaking in tongues. And as a child, I'm like, are we going to eat? I'm going to starve to death. But I crave for those moments today. I crave for the time to where my kids can be sitting at a table and we're praying over the food and the Holy Ghost breaks out. And an hour later, we finally decide to eat for the body because we fed the spirit first. It's prayer. That's where you have favor with God. It's prayer. That's where you have power with God. Come on, it's prayer. We need to spend more time praying than we do complaining and watch what God will do in the situation then. Prayer meetings. Real prayer meetings. Real seeking after God. When's the last time you saw someone drunk in the Holy Ghost? Come on, I'm preaching to myself this morning too. Is this okay? When's the last time someone just prayed, not praised, prayed so hard they were slain in the spirit and had to be carried out of here. When's the last time? Not just here, anywhere. You don't hardly hear of it no more. We got to wait till we get to a conference. That proves to me one thing. It's not the spiritual that we are feeding into. It's the emotional. It's the carnal. Because if the only time we can worship God and praise God that way is when we're at a conference, it's not the praise that God desires. It's the endorphins you're feeding into your brain in those moments. That's the only thing you're feeding into. But it's prayer. It's prayer. Prayer is where it's at. Hallelujah. Praise God. Pastor, could you help me? I'm going to bring my Bible to you. I've got it marked and everything for you. I'm going to have you turn one page back. You'll see where I've marked it for you. Hallelujah. We're going to start at verse 5 through 9. And forgive me in advance for interrupting you.
And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven?
Okay. So he got into the court with his people. I'm just imagining if it was like today, I could see him up here. And he says, okay, church, things are attacking us. We got to start praying. Mm-hmm. And so he leads in prayer. Oh God, go ahead.
Art thou not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hands is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art thou not our God, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name's sake.
All right, right there. So here this head honcho is praying. And I'm like, God, I'm reading this and I'm like, God, why are they asking you what you already know? Are you not the God that promised us? Are you not the God that drove them out in the first place? Are you not the God that said, you want to know why they were saying it wasn't questioning God. It was building up their faith. And sometimes when we have a need that we have been praying for, come on, I'm feeling it. When we have a need that we've been praying for so long, and we can get into the place in boldness, say, God, are you not the God that delivered your people out of Egypt? Are you not the God that split the Red Sea so man could walk on dry ground? Not muddy ground, not damp ground, but dry ground. Are you not the God that saved me? Are you not the God that raised me? Are you not the God that filled me with the Holy Ghost? Come on, sometimes we got to get to that place that we say, you are the God of this word that never fails, that doesn't falter, that doesn't change. You are the same God. It's us that need to tell God, ask the questions, because it's us that needs our faith built back up. We need the reminder, hey, if God said he's going to do it, then you can put money in the bank that it's already been done. Just because I haven't seen it, just because I haven't felt it, doesn't mean that I haven't got to the place where the miracle has already been performed. But because you are the God, I'm going to give you glory for it. Because you are the God that said it, I'm going to praise you for it. That's why we ask the questions. That's why King Jehoshaphat started that way. And the second part, read that last verse you read, Pastor.
And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name.
For thy name.
Saying,
come on.
If when evil cometh upon us,
yes,
as the sword, judgment, or pestilence,
yes,
or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence.
Yes.
For thy name is in this house, and we cry unto thee in our affliction. Mm. Then thou wilt hear and help.
What gets me excited about this scripture is that they didn't have a revelation of the name, but he said, we're going to build it in the name. Come on, in the name. But today, aren't you thankful you know that name? A name that is higher than any other name. A name that is greater. A name that you can be healed under, saved under, delivered under. Hallelujah. What's the name today? Come on, I'm talking to a church of God here today. Oh, yes. Come on, saints, what's that name?
Jesus.
Come on, shout out the name of
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Keep reading.
Then upon Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, that thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason.
Hold on, Levite. Hold on, man of God. Hold on just a minute. We got all these ites coming toward us. We've got all these issues and all these problems. Pastor, you don't understand the bills that I've got stacked up at home. You don't understand the issues I'm having in my relationship at home with my wife or my husband. You don't understand the things that I need to be delivered from. And you're telling me not to be afraid?
Yeah.
Why should I not be afraid? Uh-huh. Why?
He said, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours.
Wait a minute, the battle's not mine.
The battle
is
not yours.
I'm the one going through it. Whose is it then?
But God's.
Whose?
God's.
Whose?
God's.
Come on, somebody needs to shout out who the battle belongs to today.
God.
Come on, I know it's a familiar text today, but it still stands true today. The battle doesn't belong to you. That when you can get into a place of praise, when you can get into a place of power of prayer, when you can get into a place of worship and just not worrying about what the reality looks like, come on, that's when God says, okay, get out of the way. I'm going to take over from here. Ain't nobody going to touch my baby. Ain't nobody going to touch my son. Ain't nobody going to touch my daughter. Now I'm going to fight. Now it belongs to me. So what did they do next? Go to 14 and 15 for me, Pastor, if you would. Oh, that was good. Come on. I don't care what the enemy looks like. I don't care how big the giant stands tall. I don't care what the doctor's report says. I don't care, because my God says something different. Come on, every single one of us could spend all day and night right here talking about how God has healed, how God has delivered, how God has brought you out of things. Come on, our God is not intimidated about your problems today. All he wants you to do is just say, okay, God, fight it. Okay, God, take over. Take it. I don't want it, Lord. Take over. Come on. We don't have to be afraid today. We don't have to have fear and anxiety today. We don't have to live in depression today. We don't have to live into our guilt today, because the battle belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. So tomorrow, see him getting with his captain. I can see him getting with his general. I can see him saying, okay, here's what we're going to do today. Here's what we're going to do. Let me borrow you for a minute, brother. He gets with his general. He says, hey, here's what we're going to do tomorrow. You know all those soldiers we have? All those spears and shields and javelins and swords. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to tell all those men to get to the back of the line. Now, if you served in an army and you knew an invasion was coming and your captain said that, what would be the look, your response? Not good? What do you think you would want to say to him if there were no repercussions? What would you say? That's
not a good idea.
Yeah, that's not a good idea. You can be seated. It's not a good idea. Are you sure this is what you want to do? Are you sure that we want to put our warriors in the back? People are going to get slaughtered. What are we doing, King? We can't do that. He says, just trust me. Put them in the back. We're going to hear a man of God today. That's the problem right there. A man of God gives us instructions on how to live, how to be able to overcome. See, we want to conquer everything. God's the conqueror. We're the overcomers. The Bible says that. We overcome by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? But we want to put it in our own hands. We want to take care of ourselves because it's not in our timing. And it's not when we think it should be done. We fail to forget, and I keep going to this, but it's how I've been living the past 6 to 8 months, because God operates in the impossible. He really does, church. He operates. There should never be a shadow of doubt of when God is the one that steps in and creates the victory for you. It shouldn't be, well, you got lucky. It shouldn't be, well, you had the desire to, or you had the opportunity. No. It should be in a place to where when everything is stacked against you and God steps in and says, okay, it's mine. And everyone around you cannot deny that it was God that did it. It was God that took care of it. That's why we have to be able to listen to a man of God, to our shepherd, when he gets behind a pulpit and says, hey, I know it might sound a little crazy. It might be a little bit different and uncommon on how we're going to handle the situation. But if you trust God, then trust me, because God's operating through me to tell you this is how the battle will be won. I'm here to, I'm telling somebody in the Holy Ghost, follow your pastor. Follow him. Even if it sounds crazy, follow him. He's not out of the word. He's trying to help you. He's trying to help you. That one was free. That wasn't even in my notes. So the king, I'm almost done. So the king heard the word and did something out of the ordinary, did something unexpected, and he started recruiting the worshipers and the praisers. He started recruiting them. He said, okay, I need you. You're my secret weapon. This is how we're going to fight the battle today. Because the man of God said, this is how it's going to be won. So what we're going to do is we're going to get out front. And all the way down into that valley. Here's what I want you to say over and over again. Lord, you are good. And your mercy endureth forever. Brother, this is crazy. What are we doing right now? Lord, you are good. There are three tribes coming after us. Lord, you are good. And I can just hear it now. It gets louder and louder. And they start feeling something. And now they start believing it. They're getting boldness. And now their tiptoeing turns into real walking. And then their walking turns into a boldness to say, Lord, you are good. And your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good. And your mercy endureth forever. And when they get to the camp, come on. And when they get to the camp, when they get to their final destination of where they need to be at for the fight, God says, huh, it's already been taken care of. Come on, I already set an ambushment there. They are killed themselves because of your praise, because of your worship, because of your prayer, because of your faith in me. It's already been taken care of. Come on, the ambush diverted the aggression from Judah and directed it amongst themselves. What I love about the Bible is how you can read it time and time again, and God will just show you and give you more revelation. What was meant to destroy them destroyed themselves. Come on, the things that can bind you, that can hold you down, that will just press you further and further, that is trying to destroy you. Sometimes God will use that as the weapon to destroy the ones trying to destroy you. It'll shut the mouths of lions today. Come on, it'll take down giants today. Hallelujah. Then what does it say? It took 3 whole days. To gather the spoils. 3 whole days. Come on, we don't praise them because of good church services. Not because somebody told me to or it's the right thing to do. I praise him because in my failures and flaws and in my sins, he still said, I want you. I want to save you for myself. I want to use you for my glory. Come on, we could have a spirit like Moses that says, who am I, God? But we really should be saying, here am I, Lord. Here am I. I'll praise you, Lord. I'll let you use me, God. Come on, I'll shout for you, Lord. Come on, we shout to God in spite what reality looks like. Despite what the battle looks like. Let's all stand. There may be some. If you have musicians normally come, you may come. If you don't, that's fine too. Some may feel defeated this morning. Some may have been going through some things and you feel like you've lost a battle, but I'm here to tell you today it's not over until you allow it to be over. Come on, it ain't over unless you allow it to be over today. The battle's not dead unless you let it die. Well, Brother Ward, how do I praise openly and worship openly when I've messed up so many times and people in this church know it? Do you serve God or do you serve the man? Do you serve God or do you serve the ones who are criticizing you? Come on, we serve a God today, and that's why we praise the way we do. See, we get praise a little twisted and distorted sometimes. Praise is more than a shout in a song. It's more than a hand clap to a beat. Our praise should be even more apparent during the word as well as the worship, as we've done today. Come on, that's praise. Praise is when we're in our vehicle by ourselves and start having a song in our heart of, Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. God, I praise you because you're bringing me out. That's what praise is. The word says his praise shall continually be in my mouth. He inhabits the praises of his people. It's where he dwells out. It's where he's at. And defeat is not welcome. Come on, if you got a praise in your heart, defeat's not, it can't dwell in the same place. Come on, have you read the end of the book? Do you know how the story ends? Come on, our God is undefeated. He's never lost a battle. So why would he lose the battle now in your case? If we can just have a shout of praise instead of defeat. If we give God glory for the victory in advance to see that there's more blessings that he's going to give than we can even imagine of. It's there. It's there. It's there through the praise. It's there through the breakthrough today. Come on, whatever battle you're facing today, our God is undefeated. If we can get to a place to say, okay, God, you're undefeated, take the battle. And while you're over here fighting it, I'm just going to shout. I'm just going to dance. I'm just going to glorify you today because the battle doesn't belong to me anymore. God, it's yours. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm doing this. I'm letting go. Come on, there's some people under the sound of my voice right now that needs to get to the front and says, okay, God, I'm letting it go. I'm letting it go today. God, I've got financial issues, but I'm going to let it go. God, I'm dealing with some things in my mind, but the word says to cast out thy imaginations. I'm going to let it go. Come on, that person that my job is against me, but I'm going to let it go. Come on, there may be somebody who has the thought that there is somebody against you even in this house. You've got to let it go today. You've got to let it go today and let God be God. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. Come on, this is how we fight our battles right here. Here's what we're going to do. So the Bible says they went together, singing out, Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Here's what we're going to do, each and every one of us, whether you are going through something or not, the ones that are need you right now. So we're going to do this together. We're going to count to three. How many here have been praying for a lost loved one? Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to lift our hands. We're going to close our eyes in a moment. And when we do, if it's the lost loved one you've been praying for, or whether it's a battle you're dealing with, whether it's a health issue, I don't care what it is. I want you to imagine, if it's a lost loved one you're praying for, I want you to imagine that the music is beginning to play. And all of a sudden, they walk through those doors and they come sit beside you. And the Holy Ghost starts moving. And before the pastor can get behind a pulpit, they start conviction starts on them. And they start walking down to an altar. The next thing you know, they throw their hands up, tears flowing down their face, allowing pride to be stepped out of the way. And they start speaking in tongues. I want to ask you, when that happens, what is your response when that happens, when you see them delivered? What happens when God heals you of an infirmity you've been dealing with for many years? What is your response when God heals you in that moment? What happens when God answers that prayer or that miracle for you? What is your response when it physically happens to where you can see it? How do you respond? I feel it, the Holy Ghost. How do you respond? Because on the count of three, that's how you need to respond now, because that's how the battle is won. That's how miracles are performed. Come on, that's how God overcomes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
One. Start seeing it. Start seeing it. Two. I'm laying it down, God. I'm giving it to you right now. Three. Yes!
Well, lift up your hands and sing for joy. Clap your hands, make a joyful noise. Blow the trumpet and shout.